I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble.
Kobe passed me the ball, and I shot a three. And Phil didn't want me to shoot the three. I heard him.
We're going to game seven, baby. Game seven. Game seven.
Do you need more time? I can give you more time if you need more time.
Please proceed.
Welcome to Basketball Stories. I'm Kyle Scanlon.
By all means, Dan. Go ahead. Introduce yourself to the people.
I'm Dan Dries.
And
we changed the seats from last time, and I did not adjust. I'd be terrible in rotation defenses.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about today?
Oh, we're talking about Lakers-Kings game, 2002, being fixed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If it was fixed, was it fixed? Was it not fixed? It seems kind of fixed, to be honest.
The fix of game six.
Yeah, fix mm-hmm. of game six. Yeah, you did you come up with that?
No, certainly did not.
Why not?
On all the articles I read about it, it was like, the fix of game six. Game six fixed. Like, people had a lot of fun.
Everyone got really excited when they found out those words rhymed.
People were like, woo, man. This is going to be one of the better ones we do, guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is, I don't know. I feel like this is like, so 2002, like, this is, maybe this Lakers team is... They're good. Like, Shaq and Kobe are...
They're good. They had already won a championship.
They were going through ups and downs in this season, though. Because mm-hmm. like, there was a lot of questions about Shaq's conditioning.
Yeah, because he showed up to...
Yeah.
Well, he weighed 340 pounds.
It was 340?
Yeah, we weren't going to put his business on the street and body shame Shaq, but he weighed 340.
Yeah. And, like, when he was on Orlando the last season, he weighed, like, 292. Yeah. So he was like 50 pounds over his normal playing weight.
Got you.
Man.
Yeah.
You can see it, but like I was like watching.
You watch highlights and he's still amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I had never seen. I must have just completely forgot that he could like actually run with the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he was.
He was awesome. Incredible. Yeah. Also, like, that sounds like a big number, but we also forget Shaq was what, like 7'2"?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a giant.
Yeah, that's not that much.
Yeah. It's a lot still.
It's a lot, but not that.
Yeah.
Like
it's a lot for mm-hmm. what it is. Yeah. Kobe Bryant, though, is on this team, too. Won back-to-back championships.
This is kind of the first year we start seeing them not love each other, too.
Yeah, which is great. I love this rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Without them starting to not like each other, we don't get Kobe, tell me how your ass tastes. Or tell me how my ass tastes. That was so funny.
What if it really was Kobe, tell me how your ass tastes?
Kobe, tell me how your... I mean, fuck, my ass. my ass.
It reminds me of, like, on The Office, whenever Michael Scott keeps trying to do the what's up dog joke, and he just keeps getting it wrong. No, my ass. No. Damn it.
Yeah, anyway, if you guys don't know that, Shaq was at a nightclub after Kobe got eliminated from the playoffs and got on mic and started shouting, Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes.
Another classy moment from Shaquille O'Neal's career.
So great.
So petty.
It's amazing. Yeah. I love it so much, though.
Jersey's finest.
It's the perfect like amount of petty. Really enjoy it.
But yeah, but that was like, this was way before that. They're still good teammates. And that Kings team was such a juggernaut that season.
Yeah.
61 and 21.
Yeah.
61 and 21. Yeah.
It's like a deep team, too.
Yeah.
They had, they had Hedo Turkoglu. They had Bobby Jackson, who was like a perennial sixth man of the year candidate.
Yeah.
Scott Pollard. I feel like they had, Gerald Wallace was on that team.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They had so much talent.
I mean, it was just a bench. And then for the starters, you got Mike Bibby, Chris mm-hmm. Webber, Vlade Divac, Peja Stojakovic.
Vlade Divac.
Doug Christie. was also
you ever hear stories about Doug Christie?
Yeah, his wife.
His wife, yeah.
Oh my God, it's insane.
What?
His wife was like apparently like kind of.
She'll like she's like smell his boxers when he comes home to make sure that he hasn't been with other women.
Did she write the tell me how? What's the let me tell smell me. Your dick? Tell me how your dick smell.
Tell me how your dick
I would not
smells.
Be surprised because she's on Love and Hip Hop. I mean, Love and Basketball. Man. Yeah, one of those.
That's nuts.
So, he has to like
check in
with her.
You guys ever heard Let Me Smell Your Dick?
No.
It's a really bad song that made the rounds on YouTube. I just need you to know I'm not insane in inventing that.
Sure.
It's amazing.
Dandry's comedy / YouTube.com.
I'm really good at finding things on YouTube that shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was showing everyone last time the John Cena, Osama bin Laden announcement. Yeah.
Came here to podcast, and Dan was just like, hold on, we got to watch this thing real quick. And then he made us watch John Cena.
Everyone should have to look up all the different concert announcements of Osama bin Laden being assassinated, because they're fascinating.
Yeah, just watching people be stoked on a death.
Perry Farrell has one where he says, I feel like fucking partying. it's like... Tool or Disturbed, one of those types of bands has one where they like stop the concert and bring the lights down and they're like, I just want everybody here to know Osama bin Laden is fucking dead. That's right, you fuck with the best, you die like the rest. Kick it! And then they rip into a fucking guitar solo.
No.
Like, it's so good.
I hate it here.
They all make me happy.
Kick it!
You fuck with the best, you die like the rest.
It's kind of too poetic for those bands where they're like, is there a conspiracy that all these bands knew in advance and had like a week to prepare?
I feel like Three Doors Down built their entire career off that. Sort of like people they would cheer about Osama bin Laden dying. They're like,
This is our
fan basis. All our songs are about us maybe kind of vaguely being in the army. We'll see.
It's a good direction for a band. Anyway.
So the Kings had a 3-2 lead in the series. It was game six, and it got pretty chippy. A lot of insane fouls.
Yeah, Shaq has one down the stretch that's like a very obvious flagrant that's just a common foul.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like they said the Lakers shot 40 free throws to the Kings 25.
It was like something like that of like where it was like, shit, man, I lost it. But, they shot 27 free throws in the fourth quarter even.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's what it was. 27. And like Shaq was like hitting free throws too. So. Yeah.
I mean, it was just such a bad confluence of everything coming together to bury the Kings.
Yeah, I mean, like, they didn't get any help at all. But they also, like, the Lakers were just, like, Shaq was a monster in this game.
Yeah.
He's a monster. Like, he had, like, 40-some points by the end of it.
Yeah. God. That guy, he has to be one of the greatest of all time for just, like, having a huge impact.
He gets overlooked on everything that kind of stuff.
I remember watching, like, because those first three championships that the Lakers won, he was clearly better than Kobe.
He's way better than Kobe.
He was the guy. He was the captain of the team.
And
Kobe hated it.
He also had, like, a contract that is, like, comparable to today's max contracts.
Yeah.
Really?
He had, like, a 5-year, $130 million contract with the Lakers.
Ooh. That's kind of Jordan had a contract like that whenever he was like in the mid-90s, had a $30 million contract.
I think it would be kind of interesting to see what people would be getting paid if there wasn't like a single player max. Because like, I feel like LeBron would be making $50 million a season.
Yeah.
He's only like, I don't know, imagine. Like,
I wonder if it'd level out like the league.
Franchise tag, if you could franchise tag in the NBA. Because I think they said LeBron, what he's worth to Cleveland, he should be making about $500 million.
Jesus
a
Christ!
Season. Yeah,
it's insane. That's insane. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It did like change the economy of Cleveland when
absolutely.
He left.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And the franchise like tripled its worth.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ!
Or more. It might be more now. That was like years ago that I read that. Mm-hmm. I would imagine it's more now.
Yeah. So you imagine you see how much he makes, and it's still like. You're very underpaid for
yeah
yeah
for like what
you
nothing
do and what you bring to the city.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, like, kind of the problem of having, like, a union for the NBA is that all the other players are like, no, no, if we don't let you get paid that much, we all get some of that money.
Yeah.
It goes away if we let you get paid that much.
Yeah. Although, he kind of did Chris Paul a favor because now the way it's set up, like, the Supermax that kicks in after your first max can only go to, like, much older players that mean a lot to their franchise.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know if Chris Paul would be worth that, though. I don't know.
I don't know if he's on the current Supermax.
I mean, if you tell me, like, I don't know. I guess Chris Paul now, but I mean, it's only because he's getting older. What he does as a player, like,
yeah.
He's like,
I just hate him. I think that's the problem.
He's the perfect point guard. Like, he's exactly what you need. I would take him on my team in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
Over a lot of point guards.
The minute you have a guy like him, he runs your offense.
Yeah, like, look what he did for, like, Houston. It's immeasurable how far they've come.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Which is also kind of an interesting thing about this Kings team, because the year before, their point guard was Jason Williams. Mm-hmm. Who you think of as, like, if you're a young franchise, you're like, oh, we have this guy who is, like, this amazing passer and sees the floor and sets everyone up. And they traded him for Mike Bibby, who's, like, way more of, like, a shooter-defender type guy, and their offense got better. So they really trusted all those other players on that team.
Yeah.
I love Jason Williams, though. He was, like, him and C-Webb together was great.
Yeah. That was really cool to watch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
C-Webb's another one of those guys who would be amazing in today's NBA.
Man, he would be so good. Yeah. I like, just like rewatching some of the games with this is like, you forget how great he was. Yeah. Like, he was so good.
Yeah.
So good at passing, too.
So good at passing, like such an athletic finisher. If he got in the lane, like he could set anyone up or he could just dunk on your guy. Also, he has one of the best plays that gets erased in this game that I was like, that's a momentum changer, is that block he has on Kobe.
Yeah,
and then they call that back, but it's like, it is one of the most clear blocks I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's nuts that that guy called a foul. There's so many of those, too, in that game, like where you're just like, all right.
Yeah, which brings us to the other side of this game, the officiating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the referees and the look into that world. Because it was first given attention to the fact that this game could have been fixed.
Yeah.
By Tim Donaghy.
Yeah.
In, what was it, 2008?
Yeah, that's when he, like, put the book out?
No,
did
he
announce
on,
that
he
this
was,
game was fixed before
I believe
then?
He was on trial, and he, like, his lawyer his lawyer sent out this whole long, I guess not as a deposition, I don't know, but whatever, but stating just he was just like singing like a canary, just like saying everything. Like he was like, I'm fucked. I'm taking everybody with me.
Because he was facing 25 years.
Yeah. So he was like, fuck you. I'm dropping dime on everything. Telling stories about like how like different referees would be like lobbying for autographs from players so they would treat people certain ways and how some referees were using facilities to play tennis and shit like that. Like, it was crazy. A whole underground of society of just, like, crazy bullshit. And David Stern at the time was just saying that it was, he's like, this is all fake.
Yeah.
All of this. Because apparently, like,
he called him a convict, like, 1,600
called
times.
Him, yeah, a felon, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a felon. A felon, yeah.
Called him a singing felon.
Yeah.
So
David Stern's trying to get him knifed in prison.
I hope, I hope the singing felons is Seattle's team that they get.
It could
amazing.
Be the Sonics, or we're going to put this on the table for you. You guys could be the singing felons.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Like, yeah, no, David Stern was, because it was in 2008, and there was some controversy at the time about the current Lakers Celtics finals.
Yeah.
Because there was some conspiracies going on between that. And then I guess basically Tim Donaghy was like, yeah, you want to know something even more interesting? Game six was
definitely
fucked
fixed.
Up. Yeah, he said that. I mean, they don't have the names. They just said that they would say referee A, referee B, and stuff like that. And because they didn't disclose any information of who was doing what. But they said that the executives in the NBA wanted to extend the game to a game seven.
I mean, it makes sense, right? It always makes sense to have more games if you're the NBA.
Yeah, and a game seven always gets more viewers.
Sure.
Like, that's the best thing you can hope for.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they probably hope every series goes to seven games. I mean, because it's like, If you're not a player, it really only benefits you to have more games.
Yeah.
Players are the only ones that get hurt by, like, more games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you sell more tickets, you have more people watching the games, you can sell advertising space, like, yeah, it's great. Yeah.
If it was all sweeps, it would be interesting to see what would happen if it was the playoff was, like, all sweeps.
Well, one of the things that Donaghy talked about in his book was that he knew that certain refs had a tendency to keep games closer. I think Dick Bavette is the guy he names checks.
Who referees this game.
Yeah, exactly. He was just a company guy. He knew that the NBA didn't want to see blowouts.
Yeah.
So he was like, you know, he was like, I don't think Dick Bavette ever changed the outcome of a game, but I do think that he made some, like, bad teams get a lot closer in games where they should have been getting blown out.
One of the things I saw about this was the finals with the Suns and the Bulls, when the Bulls or Suns were down 0-2, and like him and Barkley are like buddies. Like Barkley's like kissed him on the lips on TV before.
Yeah. He raced him one time at halftime of a game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was so crazy. Great.
But then because of this though, the whole thing is like it looks bad whenever a team's getting blown out and then all of a sudden they can like smack together a couple victories and like make a series out of something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's also the thing that bugs me with this so much is so many people who want to trash the NBA will be like, the NBA's rigged, man. Yeah. Like, LeBron gets to the finals every year because it's good for ratings, not because he's great.
Yeah. The few people who, like, they don't watch it.
Yeah. It's never anybody who actually watches basketball. No.
But it sucks to know that this exists. And it's like, man, if those people ever figured out, like, that the NBA did a full report on, like, yeah, a game was probably fixed.
Yeah.
Yeah. They would never let it go.
Yeah. Especially one that determined, I mean, this, like, definitely had a huge bearing on who won the NBA title.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think the Nets were going to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Nets played who? The Celtics that year? In the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, I think so.
And Jason Kidd's Nets.
On the Eastern Conference final, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they ended up getting taken out in 5 games. They might have gotten swept.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, whoever played them was going to win.
I don't know. I was just like surprised at, cause it, I don't know. So this like put me down into a rabbit hole of like looking at the like Portland series the year before that. Mm-hmm. And then there was like a bunch of similar stuff with that, like where people were kind of like, maybe this is like involved in the NBA propping up the Lakers too.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I mean, cause one of the reports that I read was that the NBA was obsessed with the Lakers.
Yeah. The direct quote from David Stern,
my ideal finals matchup is Lakers versus Lakers.
He said, I would be lying if I told you there wasn't a special fascination with the Lakers.
And just him and not alone is like very suspicious.
From the president of your league?
Yeah. Well, also, why would you want to see that? I guess if you wanted to see like two juggernaut teams go at each other, but
how stupid are you to say that out loud though?
Like, it's so weird. Like, what is it about? I mean, you know, they're talented, but for you to publicly say that you have an affinity for another team over the other is ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And it's like, we all get that there are big market teams that people that are more popular, but you can't say that.
Mm-mm. I mean, Shaq and Kobe, like we understand.
Mm-hmm.
But this also makes me believe a lot of what Tim Donaghy was saying.
Yeah.
Just, you know, like people like, just, I mean, if you look at like, so you have executives, people who own the team, just like, hey, look out for me, look out for this. So he was also saying how, like, there was a referee who ejected a star player in the first quarter or, like, the first half, and then he got reprimanded.
Of a playoff game?
No, just, like, in a game, and he got reprimanded. Mm-hmm. So they were saying, like, there was a whole culture, like, throughout the season just for money and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Do not kick out star players.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of with that.
Yeah.
People pay a lot of money to go see, like, Kevin Durant of the world who got kicked out of, like, 4 games this year.
Well, he also talked about, like, you know, there would be complaints about, like, Shaq is getting this kind of foul or Vince Carter's getting this kind of foul. And instead of the NBA saying, like, you can't call fouls on these guys, the night after something like that would happen, they'd send out memos to the refs that would say, like, you know, this type of lane violation shouldn't be judged like this. And it'd be, like, footage of Shaq doing whatever it is. So they would, like, specifically guide away from certain players' tendencies.
Huh.
Yeah. And also, I mean, and to play devil's advocate for a second, like, I kind of get it. I get wanting to have a, you know, you what you assume that as the best team or the team that would, you know, bring in the most viewers for the finals. But people like to see good teams, and if a team is good, then they're going to bring in eyes because they're worth watching.
Yeah.
So I don't agree.
The fans are going to be there.
Yeah, well, exactly. I think this is, though, a little bit more of a different time than now, where like everything is like every game is so accessible now. Mm-hmm. When this was going on 15 years ago, this wasn't a thing where you could watch 40 Sacramento Kings games.
Yeah, that's true.
Like you could watch one, maybe two. Yeah. Like they weren't getting like primetime recognition or anything.
No. And like they didn't have star power on that team. Chris Webber wasn't really, he was their biggest star and he wasn't like a beloved player. And the rest of it is like, you know, Vlad Divac, Peja Stojakovic, like Doug Christie, those are not dudes that people are tuning in to watch because they're like, they're obscure or from another country.
Yeah.
Had they known about Doug Christie's wife, I'm sure they would have been a lot more interested.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dude, he would have been so famous in today's NBA.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Just let me smell your dick.
Oh, God. And that would have... How many times would they have to do that? Like, why would you just... Let me like smell someone's underwear.
I wonder if
you'd rather just not
ever,
be with them.
Like made that request and realized like, oh yeah, I don't have like dog senses, so I don't know anything for doing this.
I mean, it's like what she had said was that you can smell sex. Mm-hmm. She was like, you can smell it. And also the reverse was that if he had taken a shower, she'd be like, oh, why did you take a shower? If you smell too clean, why did you take a shower? She seems very, very
cool,
untrusting.
Mm-hmm.
And also too, I mean, like if you're her, it's not going to be like, oh, I'm just going to leave you again. I have, you know, an ex-NBA player's house and money, and I'm on the show because I'm married to an NBA player or an ex-NBA player for that matter. So I mean, like your life is your life. You don't want to give that up, and you still love this person. You just want them to stop cheating on you. You know, so you just, you know, take it to a level that is
absolutely ridiculous.
Fair.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, ridiculous.
Yeah. Wait, what?
No,
a little insight into Dan's personal relationships there.
I don't trust people. Constantly following
your
YouTube, making sure you're not podcasting with other people.
Yeah. I mean, like, you see the NBA, you see how, like, we did an episode about how, like, it's just, like, DMs and all of this shit.
Oh, yeah.
And Doug Christie wasn't even playing at a time. Well, he got lucky because he was playing at a time where there wasn't a whole lot of social media. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure he got away with a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A whole lot. I mean, so.
Well, let's try to guess how much he got away with.
A lot.
I'm going to say more than Andre Kirilenko, less than Shaq.
Yeah. Shaq got caught.
Shaq, because Kobe outed him.
Yeah. What a great teammate.
That's another thing you don't see from these Kings. No one is shouting out Doug Christie for doing this because they're bad teammates.
Yeah.
No.
That's not happening at all. Mm-mm. It's weird to think that like this Lakers team is like, it's Phil Jackson team, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, still Phil Jackson team.
Philly Jacks. I hate you. I hate him. I hate him 40 bits of the night.
Still.
I mean, he brought you Kristaps. You don't get bad enough to get Kristaps without Phil Jackson tanking that team.
Yeah.
But the thing is that the first year he came in, the plan was not to tank.
Yeah, that's true.
And then it just started happening. He was like, I think I want to tank now.
We should tank. Yeah,
we should play good and fuck this up.
I would love to see like the beat writers who are trying to get on his good graces. Like, Phil Jackson plays three-dimensional chess, tanks when everyone thinks he'll win.
Yeah, no,
defeats the odds and loses again.
The only good thing he did for the Knicks was that he drafted Kristaps and he did not trade any picks.
That's very true.
That's it.
Did
Other
you guys
than that,
see?
He gave us Joakim Noah's contract.
Did you run into the thing where when you're like looking at Stern stuff, like David Stern, like fixing stuff, that Patrick Ewing's draft lottery was probably like,
yeah,
the envelope was like frozen beforehand.
Hey,
it was like bent.
Hey, I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, I saw an interview with Patrick Ewing where he said, "I wouldn't be surprised."
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Also, go back to that fucking, the Bulls getting Derrick Rose. What the fuck happened
yeah. there? Yeah. Well, part of it, too, is, like, you're running this league. You want to compete with other sports, and you're aware of, like, yeah, we've got, like, an imminent star coming.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of variables you can control, and this is one. You can.
And now, yeah, I feel like now the NBA is, like, very, because you look at Adam Silver, and he seems very no bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, even though he's like a very fair, like none of this is happening now. So anything that happens now.
I think he's like a perfect commissioner.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's so candid too. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so I believe if someone jumped to number one now, it'd be like, that's luck. Like, I don't think. Mm-hmm. But back in the old days, like they seemed shady, the slick hair and all
David
the bullshit.
Stern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like get out of here. You were doing some shady shit.
Was David Stern in charge when the Cavs got all the number one picks in a row? I feel like that was like the end of David Stern. Like that was right before he left.
Makes sense. Like, I don't know.
I mean, you think about it, like LeBron is a number one pick going to Cleveland is such a perfect story. He's the kid from Akron, goes to Cleveland. It's this like just disappearing franchise. There weren't really a lot of other, I mean, Detroit was the next up and then who was it? Toronto. So it's like there's not a lot of teams in the lottery that you're like, oh, that's a much better market for him to go to. He goes there, they leave, and then that they're like, well, we got to keep this market alive, and they just get so many number ones.
Yeah.
Kyrie,
and then
which Anthony later they Bennett, were able to turn into Isaiah
and
Thomas.
Wiggins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anthony Bennett is so bad.
I mean, he's not good. He's
yes.
He's
making, correct.
He's trying to put a little comeback together, though. We'll see what happens.
I would love for him to get in the league for a little bit of time just to like redeem himself.
Yeah, I think he might have a chance because they said there was one coach who just said that he didn't want to work for anything.
So yeah,
he had the physical attributes, and as soon as he hit adversity, he quit. So he said if he was able to be like what they projected him to be and like he had like a good mental focus that he'd be fine, and they said that he has that now playing for the he's in the D League or the G League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they said he's like there was one game little stint where he averaged like 28 points a game.
Playing for the 56ers.
The 56ers, yeah. So we'll see what happens.
That would be cool.
Yeah. I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
No, I'm
not. It would be nice.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like another thing though with that Kings team is you think of teams that take like a big loss like that where they kind of get snake bitten afterwards because you're just like you don't know what to trust because you're like we should have won this game it got taken away from us and it's kind of interesting that they continued to be pretty competitive because there's all these different examples in sports of guys like the Red Sox, like Bill Buckner, when he missed that grounder between his legs and it like ruined his career because he was mentally gone. Cleveland's doing the Shaka sign.
He's making fun of me because I was trying to say we should because this is going to be a two-part episode.
It's going
to
be a two-part episode.
And we need to at some point wind it down.
You were giving us Navy SEAL hand motions.
Two fingers for 2 minutes. I didn't realize that you guys were both dumb as shit. Figure out what that meant.
I tried to keep going, but you guys were both
Navy
flashing.
SEAL to you?
Yeah. You pointed at your eyes with both fingers and then you pointed at the door and I was like, all right, that means that there's a KGB on the other side of that.
Or he wants to kiss. I don't know. It's always one or the other. All right. Well, I guess we should just stop this episode here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Part two will be out next week of this. We're going to go into the game. We got some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be real wild. Subscribe on iTunes.
Follow us on Instagram.
Yeah.
And GChat.
GChat. GChat us at your work.
Yeah. Find our home addresses and then just leave notes on our front doors.
Ooh, yeah. No one does that anymore.
Thankfully.
I don't know. I liked feeling.
That's just how every grandpa met every grandma back in the day. You could kind of stalk someone until they had to marry you or move towns.
Well, they were 14. They had to. They didn't get a lot of choices. But, all right. Well, we will see you again next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.